Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. We continue in our program today a study of the Old Testament book of Judges. Now, there are 13 judges recorded for us in the book of Judges, and we've looked at 12 of them, and we are now looking at the time of the birth of judge number 13. Angels from heaven came to Manoah of the tribe of Dan and his wife to inform them that they would have a son, and this son would deliver the people of Israel out of the hand of their oppressors. And their oppressors at this particular time were the Philistines. Now, the Philistines and the Israelites were historical enemies. And the Israelites had brought this oppression upon themselves by their disobedience and their waywardness from God. But now the Philistines were in control. And when this was the situation, the people would often rise up and cry unto God that God would deliver them from their enemy. And God would raise up a judge who was really a deliverer, a leader of forces that would drive the enemy away. Well, this particular 13th judge did not enlist an army. He did his work himself. He is probably the best known of all of the judges by the general public. But now when this angel informed Manoah and his wife that they would have a son, Manoah was afraid that he had seen God and therefore he would die. But his wife correctly reasoned, why would God want to kill them if he had told them they were going to have a son? And if he had gone into great detail to them as to how they were to rear that son, and that he was to be a Nazarite all the days of his life, that meant that he was not to eat any ceremoniously unclean food, he was not to drink strong drink, he was not to cut his hair. There were other things characteristic of the Nazarite vow, and that would be the lot of this last judge. Well, in time a son was born to this couple, and this son was named Samson. He grew and he was blessed of God. The Spirit of God began to lead him into the work for which he was born. Now we read that when Samuel had reached a certain degree of adulthood, he went down to Timnath. Now Timnath was the name of a place among the Philistines. Just why he went down there, we're going to see that this was the way that God used Samson's choice to bring him into association with the Philistines, and he would gradually bring deliverance for Israel from these people who were bringing them into such a state of depression. Was while in Timnath, Samson saw a woman there that he desired. The Samson, his passion for women, it seemed to be his weakness. It certainly proved to be his downfall. And when he returned from Timnath, he told his father and mother that he wanted that woman for his wife. Well, his father and mother objected to that, and they said that he should marry among his own people, not among the uncircumcised Philistines. Now, the Philistines did not practice circumcision. Circumcision was a sign of the covenant between God and Israel. And the Israelites were to confine themselves to the nation of circumcision. But Samson persisted in his demand, even though it violated God's directions to Israel about intermarrying with the heathen inhabitants of Canaan. But this, as I said, proved to be the way that God used to get Samson among the enemies that he would later defeat. Now, we are not to think that God approved of what Samson did, but God used what Samson decided and what Samson did in order to further his own purposes of deliverance for Israel. Samson did what he did of his own choice. As we study the Bible, often we see how God uses even that which he disapproves in order to advance his own cause. The case of Pharaoh in Egypt, that's a classic example of that. You see, there's a difference between approving of something and allowing something to take place and then using it to your advantage. God allowed Samson to do as he wished in this particular matter, but God used it to the advantage of Israel nonetheless. Well, as Samson and his parents went to Timnath, Samson encountered a young lion. Samson used the great strength that he had to kill that lion with his bare hands. Now, this is the first instance we have of the great physical strength that Samson possessed. His parents must not have been at the exact location where Samson was when this occurred, because we find out later that they knew nothing about it. Well, since marriages were usually arranged by the parents of the prospective bride and groom, negotiations were completed for Samson to marry this unnamed Philistine woman. So Samson and his parents returned home to await the marriage date. As Samson went again to Timnath to be married, he took note of the carcass of the lion in which a swarm of bees had made honey. He partook of the honey, and then he continued on his journey. He's going to use this later on in his association with the Philistines. He even gave some of the honey to his parents, but he did not tell them how it came about that he had this honey or that he killed the lion. Now it was the custom for the bridegroom to host a feast before the wedding, and this Samson did among the friends of his bride, the Philistines. We wonder here whether Samson and his handling of the lion did not really violate his Nazarite vow, at least the part about touching a dead body. Possibly this only applied to a human body, but it may well have extended to all bodies, as seems to be the case in the description of the vow that we read about in the book of Numbers. It is not likely that Samson killed the lion without touching the dead animal. He possibly even touched it while gathering the honey. It may be a small matter, but it does give some indication that Samson was not too observant of the requirements of being a Nazarite. He certainly allowed his hair to be cut later on, and that would be another violation. Samson was a man of great strength, and this strength was to be used to remove the yoke of the Philistines from off God's people. But we cannot say much in the way of commendation for the strength of the character of Samson. Physical strength, yes. Character strength, they're both desirable. But of the two, a person of strong character is by far the more to be desired. The feast that Samson hosted gave him an opportunity to show his superiority over the Philistines. Now there were some 30 persons who came to the feast, and Samson proposed a riddle for them to solve. He suspected that they would be unable to do it, and he thought that it would show him smarter than his enemies. Well, what was the riddle? Just this: out of the eater came forth meat, out of the strong came forth sweetness. Now they had 7 days to find the answer, and the prize to the winner would be 30 sheets and 30 garments. These were pieces of apparel at that particular time. Well, 3 days passed, and the Philistines could not solve the riddle. But then they urged Samson's bride to be to learn what was the answer for them. and they even threatened to burn her and her father's house, probably including his family, if she did not learn the secret and then reveal that secret unto them. Well, Samson's wife wept before Samson and continued that he did not really love her unless he told her the riddle. Well, he complained that he had not told anyone. He had not even told his parents, and he was not going to tell her. But she kept up this behavior all the week until he relented and told her. You see, the riddle had to do with the lion and with the honey. The honey, the meat, and the sweetness had been taken from the lion, the strong, and the eater. That was the riddle, and that was the solution of it. And once the riddle was told to her, she obliged to tell her Philistine friends the answer to it. Well, when it seemed that Samson would win the contest, the Philistines entered and told him the riddle. And Samson said they never would have learned it, except, as he said, "You have plowed with my heifer." I think what an uncomplimentary thing to say about his wife, but what a betrayal of him she had committed. You see, this marriage began in a very bad way. And Samson was so angry over the incident that he paid his debt by going out and slaying 30 men, taking their garments and giving them to those who had told him his riddle. Again, this is another indication of his great and superior strength that others could not overcome. He then, his anger continuing, returned home rather than remaining with his new wife. He was surely angry with everyone there in Timnath for not keeping his secret. But he had not kept his secret himself. And upon his return home from his wife in Timnath, she was given to another man. Now this action by her father to give Samson's wife to somebody else, why, this proved to be the source of a great conflict between Samson and his wife's family and the Philistines. But cannot you understand why this father might have chosen to do this? He thought that Samson was displeased with his wife. He thought that Samson was not going to stay there among the Philistines with her, and therefore he simply gave her to somebody else. And Samson went back to Israel, being very, very angry at how he had been deceived and betrayed in the revealing of his riddle, and he did not prove himself to be superior to the Philistines as he had calculated. Well, after an unspecified length of time, Samson seemed to have cooled from his temper, and he determined to go back to his wife. He evidently did not know that she had been given to somebody else. And this return visit would produce fireworks between Samson and the Philistines. For when he arrived, the father of Samson's wife would not allow him to have her, explaining to Samson that Samson's conduct upon returning home, he gave her to someone else. Well, we'll continue our study from this point in our next lesson. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.